Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Menachos Daf Ayin Zayin. We begin a brand new perek on Ayin Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah, speaking primarily about the Korban Toida, which, as we know, is comprised of several components. You have the behemoth, the animal itself, the korban, and it's accompanied by breads of many types. So, in general, we have two categories, chametz and matzah. Within the chametz type, we only have 10 breads, which are relatively larger than the ones on the other side, which are the matzah. Matzah variations. So we have three matzah variations on the matzah side of things. One is called chales, a larger, size sort of loaf, which is technically matzah. We have rikikin, which are the flatter, more crackery type, and we have revucha, which is saturated with oil more than the rest. It's sort of cooked in oil. And again, there are 10 units per type. So 10 chametz, chales, and then on the matzah side we have three types, each one 10 units. So it's a total of 40 chales. 10 are chametz, 30 matzah. Okay, how much flour is used? What's the quantity required for these 40 breads? Says the Mishnah. Toidah. So the bread of the Toidah, hoisaba, would come as follows. Chamesh, 5 se'in, 5 se'ah, Yerushalmi yes. So in Yerushalayim, they increased the size of the saw over what it was until then. So at this point, it's 5 saw, Shein Shesh Midbaris, which corresponds in terms of quantity to the 6 saw back in the Midbar. So basically, it's 20% bigger. Okay, so these 6 old saw would fit into 5 new ones, because the 5 new ones were increased by 20%, so basically it's a, if you look at the final end game, it's a sixth more, right? So 6 can fit into 5, so it's that sixth bigger, right? Now 6 sa'ah correspond to 2 eifah, and eifah is 3 sa'ah, shtei eifahs, right? Eifah shalosh sin. Now when he's sarain is a tenth. That's why it's called Isarin, a tenth, like an Eser. An Isarin of what? So we know from the Mon, right? Asiris ha'efa. Isarin is a tenth of an efa. Okay, so we have, if we have 2 efa, that equals 20 Isarin, right? 10 Isarin per efa. Eser Isarin. And that's divided 10 to the chametz and 10 to the matzah. Split into 2. Asar l'chametz. 10 isarin for the 10 chametz breads, each one comprised of a full isarin, so it's a larger loaf. Vasar l'matzah. The other 10 isarin is designated for the matzah, which is comprised of 30 breads. So basically, it's much smaller, right? Each bread here is just a third of an isarin, so it's way smaller than the chametz breads. Oh, so Mishnah explained. Asar l'chametz. So looking at the 10 isarin meant for the chametz, it's 10 bread, so it's Isarin l'chala. Each chala has an Isarin. Vasar l'matzah. Regarding the 10 Isarin for the matzah, that gets divvied much smaller. Uva matzah sholish min, because in the matzah category, you have three types. You have l'chala, the loaf type, rikik, and the cracker type, revuch, and the oily one. Nimtzu. So it turns out, if you divide the 10 Isarin amongst these three types, each one gets only 3 1/3 Isarin. Shloisha Isroinim. For every single type of matzah, how much per matzah per unit? So each isarin was meant for 3 chalas, leaving each chala on the matzah side with only a third of an isarin, as opposed to the chametz ones, which are 1 isarin per chala. With the Yerushalmis, now if you work with the Yerushalmi numbers, they worked with kabin. So it's 5 sa'a, and each sa'a is 6 kav, total of 30 kav. So it's pretty much same idea, just you work with different, working with slightly different measurements. We take that total and we split it amongst the chametz and the matzah. with the Yerushalmis, how you shleishim kav. Right, so until now we spoke about the midi midbaris, six sa'ah, which is two eifa, which is 20 sarin, etc. Now we shift to the Yerushalmi system, which was five sa'ah, five bigger ones, instead of the six smaller, and that's divided into 30 kav. We'll bring the Yerushalmi so Yerushalayim kav, 15 for the chametz, 15 for the matzah, right? Chamisha asra l'chamesh, the chametz, the chamisha asra l'matzah. Now regarding the chametz, evidently there were bigger loaves, because there were 10 loaves for 15 kav, 1.5 kav per loaf. But on the matzah side of things, 15 was appropriated for all 30 matzahs, giving each matzah a much smaller share. So again, chamisha asra l'chametz, the 15 kav meant for chametz, guess you, kav mechtzal chala, 1.5 kav per chala, because it was 10 chalas for the 15 kav. On the other hand, chamisha asra l'matzah, the 15 kav meant for the matzah. Now, with matzah sholish min, as we know, the matzah had three types, chalas, urikik, and urvocha. So you divide the 15 kav into three, giving 5 kav per type. Nimtush chamishas kav and chalmin v'min, and how large was each chala? Shtei chalas l'kav. Two chalas per kav, meaning a half a kav per chala. Okay, Mishnah began with this formula, speaking about the six sa'ah, which turned into two eifa, etc. How do we know that an eifa is three sa'ah? How do we know that? Haytoydei sabah chamish sin Yerushalmis. But not really, how do we know that in fact the term eifa refers to three sa'ah? Amar v'chizda makra, we have a pasuk in Yecheskel. Ha'eifa v'abas toichan echad, yeah. So the eifa and the bas is another measurement, is one and the same. And we know ma bas sholosh sin, just like a bas, as we know, is three sa'ah. We'll see in a minute how we know that. Half eifa sholosh sin, the same as an eifa, because they're one and the same measurement. I asked the Gemara, but how do you know what a bas is? A bas gufa. Minola. Ilem d'chsev is it from the other pasuk? Sorry, it's the next part of this pasuk. Lo says mas maaser hachomer habas, that bas constitutes a maaser, a tenth, which you know you give to the levi, whatever. It's a maaser of the chomer. And we assume a chaymer is three sa'ah. How we know? We'll see in a minute. Well, if that's your source, eifa nam yoksiv, asir se'ef, chaymer eifa, eifa. The same exact pasuk also relates to the eifa as a tenth of the chaymer. So why do you have to equate the sa'ah to the bas, to the chaymer? Just go directly to the pasuk which speaks about an eifa comprising this quantity. Ella, so it must be that we don't really know what a chaymer is to begin with. So the starting point here is unknown. El chaymer le'idana kama. So what do you gain by looking at bas, which is determined to be a tenth of a chaymer? First you have to determine how much a chaymer is. Hachanami here as well, le'idana kama. We don't know what a chaymer is. El mihacha. Rather we have a different pasuk in Yecheskel, which will clarify for us how much a bas is. It's in fact three se'ah. The chok of the maser of the tenth. What is meant to be given away as maser? Bas from Ekor. And we know, Rashi says, we used the kor measurement in Bavel, it was a known quantity, it was 30 so. Asera sabatim chomer. So again, a maser is a tenth. Bas is maser of the kor. Kor is 30 so bas is 3 so. And the pasuk reiterates, "Aseres habatim chomer." If you multiply the bas, which is three sa'ah, by 10, you get a chomer. Ki aseres habatim chomer. That's what it is. When chomer is 30 sa'ah, like a kur is. And now we know with certainty that a bas is three sa'ah. And now we go back to that original pasuk that equates the eifa with the bas, just as bas is three sa'ah, likewise an eifa. Here we go. An eifa is three sa'ah. And Yisorin is a tenth of the eifa. Okay, now since the Mishnah did speak about the fact that they increased the measurements, so when they came to Yerushalayim, they increased the sa'ah. They still called it a sa'ah, but it would contain a sixth more than the old sa'ah. So on that note, says Shmuel, if a community should choose to do so in the future, to increase, to be moisef an emida, you're bound by a limit. You can't do it unlimitedly. There is a prescribed limit, a sixth and no more. And the Gemara later will tell us a sixth means an external sixth. We call it milavar from the outside, which means to say you can add, and that addition that you're going to add will equal a sixth of the final total amount. So technically it's like 20%. Something which held, let's say, held 10 ounces, and now you want it to hold more, you can increase 2 ounces. So now it will hold 12, and that addition, which is 2, is really a sixth of the final total amount. And that's what we learn from our Mishnah, because the old 6 went into the new 5, apparently. The new 5 was a sixth bigger. It now accommodated that extra 1. Which is an external sixth, the sixth of the total amount. Okay, so that's going to be the source of this halach. Amar Shmuel. Ein moyisif an almidas yetz mishtos. If you choose to add, to increase, to enlarge a measurement, you limit it at a sixth. Number one. Number two, same thing with increasing the value of a coin. V'lo yelam adve yetz mishtos. No more than a sixth. Number three, if one deals with eichel nefesh, foodstuffs, food items, we want to ensure that the market is stable, that the food is affordable, don't mark it up more than a sixth. So the profit margin can't be more than a sixth to make it affordable. Now, what's the objective in the first two items? The third I understand. What about the point of increasing measurements and currency value? Why are you limited at a sixth? My time. Is it because we want to keep the markets stable? Tara is the prices. And Rashi explains, because, you know, what happens when we increase? Suddenly, you know, a pound is really 1.5. Inevitably, the price will have to rise accordingly. Now, for the ignorant observer or the visitor in town or the dealer from far, when he hears that the prices have risen in this town, he won't attribute it to, he won't realize why. He won't necessarily know the cause. He'll just know prices are rising. Oh, time to raise the prices. There's a shortage, a famine. So to keep the market stable, we only allow, you know, for a moderate increase and no more. Yachi, if that's the concern, just not me. Don't even allow a six. That's also a pretty drastic increase. That's also going to shake up the markets. Ella, rather, the reason is Mishmoy no. It's unrelated to the previous reason. It's because of a no. Cheating. It's halacha that if one overpays or underpays, right? If it's less than a sixth, so then it's mechila, it's deemed to be forgiven. If it's more than a sixth, it's a pretty drastic discrepancy, so it's going to cancel the whole deal. Bitul mekach. If it's exactly a sixth, the deal stands, but it's entitled to a refund. Or in the case of the seller was underpaid, entitled to demand full payment. Now, if we're going to allow for just drastic variations and tinkerings of the measurements and midos, it's going to cause havoc. Picture it. A dealer comes to town. He's accustomed to selling, you know, wheat, a pound a dollar. Comes to town not realizing that they increased the measurements. Okay, so now a pound really holds 1.5, and he's going to keep on measuring into that pound as though it's a pound and charge the same old dollar, not realizing that he's entitled to 1.5. Then he's going to realize he's going to come back and cancel all his deals. That's going to wreak havoc in the market. So, in order to ensure stability, we limit this modification at a sixth. So, at most, he'll have lost that sixth. Although he's entitled to that extra payment, but at least the deals won't be canceled right and left. He'll have stability in the market. El Mishmoy no. He'll have a big lemecha to avoid cancellation of the deals. Says the Gemara, but here it's not a matter of, you know, misestimating or, you know, undervaluing something. You got the wrong amount. You gave him too much. And whatever that happens, it's bitul mekach. Even if it's a drop over, a drop under. if the discrepancy is not in value, rather in amount. It was meant to be a pound. I give you 1.5. That generates cancellation, automatic bitul mekach. Even if it's less than a sixth, you haven't really gained much by keeping it at a sixth. Vama Rava tells us, someone goes Rabba, called Rava Shabbat Mida. Any material that is measured has a, you know, finite value in terms of size and measurement. Shabbat Mishka, it's weighed. Shabbat Minya, it's counted. A dozen eggs, he gave him 13. Even if the sum total of discrepancy is less than a six, he can just back off. So this can't be the factor at play. Rather, we have a third suggestion. We want to keep the dealers happy and their business is profitable. And basically, along the same lines, if it turns out that he innocently doles out more than he should because he's not realizing that the measurements are now bigger and contain more, you know, at least he won't lose more than a sixth, which is really his markup. That's his profit. As we said before, when it comes to foodstuffs, the markup is no more than a sixth, so that's what he's going to be losing. At least he only uses his markup, his profit. He's not actually going to take a loss on the item. So that the tie should not be struck by loss, the yana means loss. Says the Gemara, okay, so he won't lose, but you're basically telling him to sell at cost price. What kind of dealer is that? How's he going to pay his bills? Dianud lumtai, so he's not going to be experiencing loss. Fine. So he avoids loss, but how could he make a living by selling at cost price? Rachulah, he doesn't have to earn anything. And there's a common saying, zavan, a fellow walks around buying items, zavan, and reselling them at cost price. Tagra, ikri is called a. Is that called a merchant? What kind of businessman is that? Basically, it's not feasible. It's not sustainable. So that can't be the reason. Just to avoid loss. I mean, it's not really a sustainable system. So it must be another reason. For Shmuel's halacha, that hoisafos should be capped at a sixth. Increase in measurements or in value of currency. Elamar v'chizda Shmuel kro ashkach v'darosh. It's based on a pasuk. Pasuk in Yecheskel again. Describing the currencies, a shekel. What is a shekel? Eshrim gera, comprised of 20 gera. Now, what is a mana? A mana really isn't a coin or a specific currency. It's just a. It's really a weight. A weight comprised of 100 zuz. So in the Gemara elsewhere we have selah. Selah has 4 zuz, 100 of which make a mana. So the pasuk here describes us what a mana is. Here shekel and selah go together. In the Gemara it's called selah, and the pasuk it's called shekel. So it's esrim. We have to add this up. Esrim shkolim, 20, plus chamishim esrim shkolim, 25, plus asor v'chamishim shekel, 15, which is 60, 60 shekel, 60 selah, comprised of 4 zuz each. That is a mana, hamana yelachem. Ask the Gemara, hold it. Typically, we know that a mon is 100 zuz. Here, it's 60 shekel. Each one is 4 zuz, so it's 240. Mana is a mana musan bar bar and hava. 240 coins? Ella, oh, so apparently it's as follows. First of all, shmamina, we learn from here the last three things. First of all, shmamina, mana shal kodesh. This wasn't an ordinary, mundane mana. There's a mana shal kodesh, different system when it comes to currency that's used in the Torah, like for Pidyon HaBen, it's called Mana Shel Kodesh, is Kafal Hoya, is double in value of a regular mana. So instead of 100 zuz, it's 200 zuz. Fine, but how do you get to 240? The answer is they increased. They increased by 20%. Shmamina Mesif Nal Mides. We learn from it that you can add to currency, you can add to measurements. Mana is a weight, right? A certain weight, a certain. Vein Mesif Nal Mishtus, at most, a six, no more. Shmamina, thirdly, that the 20% is external, the 6 is external, as we explained before, it's a 6th of the final tally. Shtusim levar. Maravina masis namidek al prukma al mishnah as well. That the additional 6 is external, it's a 6th of the total final amount. The Tani, because the mishnah speaks about the increase that took place in Yerushalayim, in which case the old 6 would now squeeze into the new 5 because of this increase. Hatoy doy sebo. Chamish sin Yerushalayim is how much flour was used for the Torah, 5 sa'ah, bigger ones of Yerushalayim, which correspond in value to the old 6. Apparently 6 went into 5 because the new ones were increased by a 6th, an external 6th. Shein shein shvit barish ma'amino. Okay, so in a nutshell, we had the required volume for the carbon Torah. The old system was 6 sa'ah, the new system was 5 sa'ah. Split evenly between the chametz and the matzah. The chametz had 10 breads, each one in Isarin. The matzah had 3 types. Each one had 10 units, a total of 30. And evidently they were smaller, much smaller, than the chametz breads, because, as we said, half the amount went to chametz, half the flour went to matzah, which had to be divided accordingly. We also learned the halacha of Shmuel. Hayisafos and midos and matbeis are capped at a 6th, and likewise, profiteering from oichel nefesh should be capped at a 6 as well. Continues the Mishnah on base. So we have the breads before us. The halacha is we take a portion and give it to the kohen, 10%, one bread of 10. So basically you have 10 chametz, give them one. You have the 3 matzah types, each one having 10. Right? You give one of each. So kohen walks away with 4 units. Mikulam ha'yinaitel echad me'asar. Of all these types, he would give one of 10 to the kohen, truma. And that was called truma to the kohen. Shnema v'yikri menu echad mikol karm truma l'Hashem. So one of each is given as truma to Hashem, to the kohen. Now let's analyze the pasuk word for word. So it says, v'menu echad, one, a single unit. Not divided or sliced into pieces. Echad means shelo yitol paros. It can't be a broken sliced piece. It's got to be a full loaf. Pasuk says mikol karban, one of each type. We learn from here that each type was made of 10, so the numbers were equal, were all matching. Otherwise, you can have an unequal, uneven truma. Imagine you have only 5 chametz and 15 of the one of the matzahs. You're going to take one of the chametz, which is 20%, one of 5, and one of the matzah, one of 15 of whatever the challah of the matzah there, right? So you're taking less than 10%, and it's sort of going to equalize. So one is doing for the other. It's not an equal division, not an equal truma. So Mikol Karban teaches us Shiyu Kol Karban is Shavos, that all the types are equally numbered, 10 of each. Shaloitul Mikol Chaveri. This way, you're not going to be taking one on the other, accommodating one with the other one. Basically, it's 10% flat rate of each type. Why? Because there are 10 of each, and you're taking one of 10. Finally, the pasuk says, "Who gets? Who receives this truma? La Koyin Azerik as Damashlam. The Koyin was engaged in the avoid the Mesamidosh." Lo yeah, he gets it. Ashan, the rest of the breads go back to the owner. Nechal is consumed by the owner. Labana. Tana Rabbanan. We have a very long price here, which will now analyze the halacha of the truma, trumas lach meitoida, step by step, based on the pesuk. Tana Rabbanan. Vikir v'menu. What does v'menu mean? Mina mechuber. He's taking one bread that's connected, which means to say, as Rashi explains, it's in the same basket. It's one of the bunch. He's separating it now from the bunch. As opposed to, you know, if it's sitting here and the other breads are there, it's got to be one taking, a taking from the unit, from the group of breads. Okay. Now the pasuk says echad shleitel paris. We learn, as we said in the Mishnah, it has to be a complete whole bread, not sliced. Next, mikol karban, as we said in the Mishnah, it tells us that all types have the same amount of units. This way, it's a flat rate, 10% per type. Shiyu kol karban es shavos, right? Shleitum kol mina karban l'chaver. Next, truma l'Hashem. Now, we're talking about 10%, but how do we know? Why are we assuming it's 10%? Truma l'Hashem just says truma. How much? Any day mekama. He, I have no idea. What percentage is considered the truma here? Okay, hurry it down. Let's figure it out. Ne'emar kan truma. We have the word truma here by the Torah. V'ne'emar b'trumas maser truma. We have the term truma by truma's maser, where the Levi takes 10% off his maserishin and gives it to the kohen. And just as over there it's 10%, the same over here. Ma'ala halon echad me'asoro. Afkan here as well. It's echad. It's one part of 10 me'asoro. Well, a klechel derech. So perhaps take a different approach with a different conclusion. Let's compare our truma to Bikurim, which really doesn't have a defined quantity. Ne'emar kan truma. We have the word truma over here by the Torah. V'ne'emar b'Bikurim. When a person offers the first fruit, it says truma, ma'alan, just like over there, English, there's no specified percentage, afkan, perhaps over here as well, by the Torah, there's no specified amount. So basically, we're in a dilemma. We have the Truma of Lach Meiteh, we're not sure, should we compare it to Truma's Masa for 10%, or to Bikurim with an unknown Shear? Okay, let's see what's a more comparable comparison. And there will be done. Let's see who he compares to better. Says the Gemara, I prefer comparing him to Truma's Masa because there are common features between the two. Done in Truma, I will derive the definition of the term Truma over here by Toida from Truma's Masa. Why? Because this Truma by us is unique in the sense that this is the last and final offering. There's no Truma that follows it. Mid Truma, likewise, we'll compare it to and learn it from the Truma's Masa, which shares a similar feature. She'en Achrei Truma, which is the last Truma. Meaning after the Levi gives away the Truma's Masa, that's it. It's his for keeps. As opposed to Bikurim, which is the first separation on the list. It's followed by Truma Gedoyla, etc. It's only the beginning of the process. Val Yuchichi Bikurim don't indicate from Bikurim, which is runs a different track. Sheyesh Achrein Truma, which was followed by more Trumas. And that's why we compare Toida to Truma's Mas. Oy, Kalech Lerch Sur, perhaps take a different approach. Compare them to Bikurim because of their similarities. Don and Truma Nechalas Malkam Kadesh. Let's learn about the Truma of Toida, where we have a halacha that it must be eaten in a Makim Kaddish, the breads have to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and likewise Mitruma from Bikurim, which shares a similar feature, and Achalas Makim Kaddish was eaten in Yerushalayim only, as opposed to Truma's Master, he can eat any way he wants, right? There's no geographical factor there. V'altachich, you can't prove anything from Truma's Master. Shunachalas Makim Kaddish, it's very different, it can be consumed anywhere. So why are we connecting Toida to Truma's Masa? The answer is the wording is more similar. Tamalay mar mimenu Truma Lashem. We have the word mimenu Truma Lashem by Toida. Uksiv Truma's Masa. Likewise, Truma's Masa. It says mimenu Truma Trumas. So yeah, we have Gzera Shava. So now we know that's one part of ten. Okay, Lamadnu Truma. Now I conclude, Toida is one of ten. But fine. So I know it's ten breads, one of which is taken as truma. But how big is the challah? How much flour is needed per bread? Harei nidan. I'll figure it out like this. Nemar kan lechem. We have the word lechem over here by Toida. We have the term lechem discussed by shteil lechem on Shavuos. Where you offer the two breads together with the carbon, and each bread there is an isarin. Okay, good comparison. Malahal, just look over there. It's an isarin of flour lechala per chala. I've come here as well by the Toida isarin lechala. So you know each chametz bread is an isarin. A klachal derech sur. Perhaps I take a different approach. Nemar kan lechem. We have the term lechem over here, and also by lechem apanim. And over there, it's double the size. Just like over there, by lechem apanim, it's two isarin per bread. Perhaps here as well, afkan. Perhaps here as well, it's two isarin per chal, double the size. Well, so the Gemara will compare him to what's more comparable. Let's see what he's more comparable to. Don and mincha baim chametz. Let's learn the chametz component of the Toida, which is a chametz entity, imazach, which accompanies a carbon, so that defines its entity, right? He's defined by the fact that he's chametz and that he accompanies a carbon. We'll compare him to something which has similar features. Mimilcha boim chametz imazach, which is a shtei lechem, comprised of chametz material along with a carbon. That's a fair comparison, as opposed to lechem apanim, which doesn't have these two features. Don't prove from lechem apanim she'ena bo chametz im hazevach. First of all, it's not chametz, and also it's not together with a carb. That's why we compare Toida to shtei lechem. Oy, kalech lech. So perhaps they can have a different approach and do compare them to lechem apanim because of their commonalities. Don and mincha bo me'aretz v'chutz la'aretz. I'll compare Toida, which is a mincha that is sourced from either local Eretz Yisrael material or Chutz La'aretz material. There's no, dictation on that. And I'll compare it to Lechem Apanim, which likewise shares a similar track. Min HaChadosh. Sorry, also mina chadash mina yashan. Furthermore, it can be either fresh crop or older crop. And I'll compare it to the chamapana, which shares these features as well. It's not limited to geographics, not limited to crop. It can be local or imported materials. Mina chadash, new, mina yashan, or aged. As opposed to shteya lechem, which has a very specific material requirement. It has to be local, it has to be fresh crop. Totally different system. You can't prove from shteya lechem shein bo yisem lachadash. It can only be sourced from the new crop and locally grown mina aretz. So again, perhaps we should compare to lechem aponim, get you jumbo breads. Let's take a look at the pasuk which discusses the shteya lechem, which says like this: Mi moish veisechem taviu lechem tnufa shtayim. Bring the two breads. Now the word taviu is an extra word. Bring it. Of course you're bringing it. It's coming to cover another offering, another similar bringing, another chametz offering, which is lachmei toida. And they too follow the same recipe, an isara in perchala. Shein tamal leim taviu. There's no need to say the word taviu. It's extra. Uma tamal leim taviu. What's the point of taviu? To teach us shekol ma shata mevi makam acher hariu kazeh. Another similar offering, makam acher, another similar offering, which is a chametz offering, is modeled after this. After the shtei lechem. Malahan, just like by the shtei lechem, it's Yisorin lachala. Afkan here is all by the toida. It follows the same model, Yisorin per lachala. One last question. If you can compare him to the shtei lechem, compare him all the way. So perhaps, just like over there, in total, it's only two Yisorin, because it's just two breads. Perhaps the chametz component of the toida is only two Yisorin in total, not ten Yisorin. So perhaps, just like over there, it's a total of two. Here as well, it's a total of two. So it's sort of in a tug of war. You know, on the one hand, you're comparing him and you're saying, well, over there, it's one Yisrael per Chal. Yeah, because it's just a total of two. So who says to focus on the individual aspect, perhaps focus on the total aspect, which is just a total of two? For all the breads. Afkan Shnei Yisroinus. Tamulayma, we have a pasuk, Tihiyena. And that same pasuk says Tihiyena was an extra yud. Tihiyena. The yud teaches 10 Isarin for the 10 bread, 1 Isarin per chametz bread. Says the Gemara, okay, we've established Lamadnu Asar Lachametz. That the chametz portion of the Toida requires 10 Isarin, 1 per bread. What about the matzah side of things? Asar Lamatzah, how do we know that the matzah side of things also has 10 Isarin for the three types of matzah? Tamul Leimar. They run the same track. It's a corresponding quantity. Al chalais lechem chametz. So the matzah is meant to be brought al, corresponding, opposite. Neged chametz have a matzah. The matzah quantity corresponds to the chametz quantity. Nimtzu. Okay, so in total we have eser misreinus, 20 yisorin for the entire package. Lachmei toidim. Asor al chametz and 10 for the matzah. Asor al matzah. Okay, let's explore further. So you have 10 Yisarin for the matzah, great. Is matzah just one type of matzah? Three types? Yochel, perhaps Asor Shabu matzah. 10 Yisarin for the matzah. Well, you call them Minachet, perhaps it's just for one type of matzah. Tell me, let me know. The pasuk clearly speaks about three types of matzah. Loaves, crackers, and the oily one. Imal toide kriveno, vikrival zevach atoide, chalois matzahs. There you go. So it's a certain type of matzah, chalois matzahs. Looks more like a loaf. Blue is bashemen. Urukike matzahs. More the cracker type, mishuk mashemen. And then we have solos more bechas, the oily one. Nim tzu, so it turns out we have three types of matzah. Shlesh esroinim, ushlesh chomin vimin. So if we divvy the 10 esroinis to the three types, get you 330 sarin per type. And how big is each matzah? Vishalash chalos esroin. Three chalas per isarin, so each matzah is a third of an isarin. Nimtzu, so sum total. At the end of the day, we have like this: lach meitoy darboim. How many breads do we have in the toy? 40 in total. 10 chametz and 30 matzah. Noito men arba. So he takes off one out of 10% per type. So it's a total of 4 breads. Gives it to the kohen. The rest he takes home. V'noyis in the kohen mashar. The rest is eaten by the own. Nechan labal. Let's go back and review the first part of the braisa. Vikri vimenu. Vimenu means he takes the bread mina mechuber from the bunch, from the bundle. Mina mechuber. Rashi explained that to be in the same kli. So mimenu means connected somewhat. What about the pasuk which says "Eschol chel b'yar mimenu"? This is by an animal carbon. Removes the fats, puts it on the mizbeach. Mimenu, hasam mai mechuber ika. The Gemara is assuming that they first dissect the animal, then they remove the chelav, so it's not connected anymore. What does mechuber mean over there? The answer is it is because Rav Chisda, Amar Avimi, Amar Chisda, he told us Amar Avimi, Nem Avimi, shloyatech bas or koyin jitay mur. Exactly as such, the pasuk is teaching us: before you remove the fats to the mizbeach, make sure the animal is intact. Don't be manatech, don't take it apart before you do the fat removal. Because it's meant to be a removal from the entire entity. Yarav imenu. It represents, you know, the entire carbon. Let's go back and review another point in the Braisa. In terms of determining percentages. Nemar kan truma, we have truma by the toida. V'nemar betrumas maser truma, we have truma betrumas maser. 10% there, 10% here. Well, we have another place in the Torah where truma is used, and it's way less. It's actually one part in 500. That's when they brought back the spoils from Midian. It says they donated one part in 500, and they call it truma. V'neilef mitrumas Midian. Let's learn from there. Mitrumas Midian. That's just one part in 500. The answer is like this. Done in truma neheges l'doiris. Let's realize, toida was an all-time thing. It was for all generations. It wasn't just a one-time event, so it's probable that we compare him to something which is like-minded, Trumas Maser, which is a regular event. Truma Negzaderis, but Truma Negzaderis, as opposed to Midian, which is a one-time event, and therefore it's not really going to indicate for Truma of Lachmitot. Val Techech Trumas Midian, She'en Negzaderis, not a constant thing, it's not a routine, and therefore we don't go there. But we have one more example of Truma, which is, again, less than 10% Chala. The pot that you remove from your dough to give to the kohen, it's 1 in 24. Let's learn from there. V'nei lefim trumas chala. The answer is, Tana d'Rav Shmuel, don and davar shenema by mimenu trumas Hashem. The wording is more comparable between toida and trumas master as opposed to chala. We learn truma of toida where it says mimenu trumas Hashem. From trumas master, midavar shenema by, likewise it says, the Gers on the side adds mimenu trumas Hashem, so it's a comparable phrase, as opposed to trumas chala, which doesn't have mimenu. Lafuk trumas chala, lenemu by mimenu trumas Hashem doesn't have the same term, and therefore we opt for a connection to trumas maser as opposed to the others. Boy, Rabbi, now comes an interesting question. So we know we give one part of ten to the kohen. Is that loaf like regular truma? What if a non-kohen eats it? Typically, if a non-kohen eats truma, b'mezid, there's misa. B'shogeg, there's a penalty of an extra chaymesh, an extra payment. What happens to this truma of lachmei toida? Does it have a status of truma to that extent or not? What if it gets mixed into other materials? Typically, when something gets mixed in, if it's majority, it's batel b'roiv, right? But when it comes to truma, the chachamim will machmer. They called it meduma. You need that the permitted material should outnumber the truma that fell in by 100. Does that apply to this truma of the lachmei toida as well? So three questions are going to stay unresolved. Boy, Rav, truma is lachmei toida. Chayav nalei misa v'chaymish? Oy, ain't chayav nalei misa v'chaymish. If a zar eats it, is he liable to misa? If it's b'mezid or chaymish, if it's b'sheg or not? Shall we say, given the iskash of truma s'masa, once we compare it to truma s'masa, it has that same status, can truma s'masa damya? All the way? Oy, dilma? No. The pasuk by truma uses very specific term. Boy, if he eats this, he gets misa. V'chamishi soy, if he eats it b'shagi, he has to pay a fifth of this. That's a miut. Miut rachmana. Perhaps the Torah is being a miut. That these halachas do not apply to lachmei toida, despite being called truma. Next question, medamas. If it gets mixed into mundane material, does it make it asr? Oyenem medamas, or perhaps not. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Okay, so let's say there is roiv against it as a bottle, or do we need 100 times as much? Take amar. Once again, we had in the Braisa discussion regarding the quantity. How much is used for the lachmei toida, teni sorin for the chametz, etc.? How do we know? Tamulaymar tiyena, for the word tiyena. My Talmud, how do you see in tiyena the number 10? Amar Ravitzel bar Avdimi tiyena ksiv. The extra yud in its numerical value is 10. Well, 10 what? We're assuming teni sorin, which is a huge amount. Emas or kfizi, perhaps 10 kfizi. Rashi says kfizi is kfizi are a half kavs, so it's a much smaller amount. 10 of those. Amarava. No. Look at the context of the pasuk, which discusses Yisrael. So 10 means 10 times Yisrael. Amrov b'Yisraelis, Tiber HaKos, the Torah is discussing the Yisrael measure. On that we have 10. Lamadna Asara L'chametz. Okay, so we've clarified that the chametz part of the Torah has 10 Yisrael, one per bread. Asara L'matzah Minayim. What about the matzah side of things? Tamalai Mar, so we compared it, right? We compared the matzah to the chametz. Tamalai Mar Al-Chalais L'cham Chametz. We learned that the matzah corresponds in volume to the chametz. Kinega, the chametz, have a matzah, the same amount used for the chametz. Ten isaron is used for the matzah as well. Except by the matzah, it's all 30 breads. Okay. Now comes an interesting question. So, pretty much we've imported information from Shtei Alechem to the Lach Mitoida, to the chametz. Right? We learn from Shtei Alechem that it's one isaron per bread. And we also know that chametz has 10 breads, right? Because it says truma. Truma is 1 out of 10, has to be a full bread. And if it's 1 out of 10, inevitably you have 10 breads. Right? So bottom line is that there is an element that has to be imported, the fact that it's one isaron per challah, but there's another component which is local, which we know from the pasuk of the chametz itself, that it has to be 10 breads. So now when we export this to the matzah, are we doing a double export? We're importing from Shtei Alechem to the Chametz, Lach Mitoida, and then we take that information and pass it on further to the Matzah of Lach Mitoida. Right, so it's a chain derivation, which is not acceptable when it comes to Kachim, Halachas of Kachim. Is that a problem? Ask the Gemara. How can we take information which Chametz learned from Shtei Alechem and pass it on further to Matzah? You can't pass on, you can't transfer information which you yourself had imported from elsewhere. Can it be so that an item, a halacha, a concept which you yourself, chametz, learns from elsewhere from the Shtei Alechem, that each bread is an isaron, chayzer, umalamad bekesh, can you turn around and transfer that information through a connection, through a hekesh to matzah? You can't do that. You can't make a double export. The answer is no. Heimen v'davar achar. You see, part of this equation is derived locally. The fact that there are 10 breads, that's known locally from the Lach Mitoida, because we said it's Truma, and Truma has to be 1 of 10. That part is known locally. He doesn't have to import that from Shtei Alechem. It's only the quantity, the fact that it's 1 Yisar and Perchal, that comes from Shtei Alechem. So now when he takes this full equation, partially locally sourced and partially imported, and transfers that to the matzah, is that considered a double transfer? Himena v'davarachu. Part of it came himena from himself. Part of it, davarachu, came from outside. V'chol himena v'davarachu lehavi hekesh. It's not considered a hekesh. It's not considered like I imported that material, because part of it I knew locally. So what I'm taking from you, Shtei Alechem, is just complementing, so to speak, what I already know from my own self. So it's considered like local material, locally derived concept, which I can now transfer with one connection over to the matzah. It's not considered a double transfer. And now by the matzah, we know that it's ten isaron for the matzah. Okay, that's if you hold of this analysis. Hanichal mandam, that works according to the Shita, that when it's done in this way, it's not considered like imported material, because part of it was sourced locally. But if you go with the opinion that disagrees, it says even this is considered a double transfer, because after all, I took some information from you and then passed it on. How does that work? Taviyu ribuyu. Answer is, in the pasuk it says, Moshesechem taviyu. The word taviyu isn't just sort of saying, well, let's compare the chametz to the Shtei Alechem, and then we compare that to the matzah, so it's a double connection. No. The word taviyu is an extra pasuk. When it's extra, we have to find an address for it, right? and we apply it to the chametz portion of the Torah. So it's as though the pasuk itself is discussing, is openly referring to lachmei Torah and giving it the halachos of isara and perchala, etc. So now it's local material. The Torah dictates this is what the chalais chametz are going to be. It's not imported material. So now we can take that information and pass it on with one transfer, a single transfer to the matzah, to learn that it has a corresponding system. It's not considered a double transfer and it works. Okay. Bottom line is, how does the Torah look? We have the animal itself, we have the many breads, 40 in total, and the flour is split equally between the chametz and the matzah. The chametz are a total of 10 breads, one isarin per bread. By the matzah we have three types, chalis, rikikin, and revucha, 10 of each. Obviously smaller breads. The kohen would get one of each type, a total of four, which is considered truma l'Hashem. It's got to be a full bread, it's got to be taken from the basket. That goes to the kohen, the rest to the owner. How do we know it's 10%? We learn from Truma's Maser. We got a question regarding the status of the Truma. Is it really like Truma's Maser, the extent of Miso, Chaimish, and Dimur? We're unsure. So all the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabba.